Here, the old gods are dead.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiya, this is the Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam. Well, you did it for like 2 episodes in a row and you were quite bold and you were funny. So yeah. I was like, maybe you'll just chime in.
I don't know. I had to do like a thing for work where I got like recorded for the website in front of a camera, just a camera, just staring at a camera, like fucking Florence Pugh or something. So, like, I was like, I record something every 2 weeks and then just let people hear it. But this is, like, it was freaking me out. I was getting so shy. It took me, like, 2 separate filming attempts over the course of a month. And also, like, 3 iterations of a script, which I could not memorize. Shock to everyone involved.
Public figure whomst.
Then I was like, anyway... So yeah, it was really embarrassing because like I saw someone else's before I did mine as like a reference. And he was like, the person recording it was like, yeah, that was all in one take. And I was like, I've never done anything in one take in my life.
Me, when I'm like, I write like a script for a TikTok and it takes me like 20 million times. It's like that video that we lassie trying to sing I Will Always Love You, and she keeps screaming and she's like, that is literally what I'm like recording TikToks. Like, we can record this whole podcast in basically one take. If I'm recording a TikTok and I'm on my own and I hear anybody talk to you, 1, I sing like Kelly MacDonald, and 2, like I trip out my words like just constantly.
So what have you been up to?
See if he's what I start a podcast.
I've been excited. Please.
You feel the pressure. If you're a boring bastard, you will suffer in terms of content.
Or if you work a lot.
Yeah, I just kind of keep coming on this podcast and talking about me going to PJs on a Saturday. Well, what have you been up to?
Not much. I never go to the West End of Glasgow, but I have a friend who lives in Maryhill. And I went to, he's an avid listener of the pod, but he likes to like edge himself with it. So he leaves a couple of episodes. and then listens to the pod once. That was verbatim what he said. So I just had to repeat exactly how it was. And we were at his, and he has so much stuff, like so much eclectic stuff, and I got really jealous. Like, I was like, I want.
Did you steal?
No, not from a friend. Although he did have a rocking chair that was broken and he was going to get rid of, but he was going to fix it before he got rid of it so that someone could have it. And I was like, can I have that? Because my mum will want it.
So you taking a rocking chair back up to Inverness?
Deadass, like a little like babushka carrying it like my groceries on my back or something. I think it'll be fun. But yeah, I want it so bad. I love rocking chairs, and also my mum really wants one. She had one when I was little. Shout out to my mum.
Shout out to Liam's mum. Rocking chairs are always haunted.
Yeah, but like in a cute way. But it's always granny. It's always granny.
Yeah, my dad's mum had one when we were wee, and she used to have like a big pink panther plush that sat on it, and I swear once I seen its eyes move.
No, that's Annabelle. Yassified Annabelle.
Aye, its eyes moved and it went, didn't. Come on.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. It's called improv, baby.
So I was at his. But his girlfriend, shout out to Emily, she like does art. Like everyone who follows the podcast social media accounts, I will stalk, like even if 10 people follow at once, I will stalk every person just to see who is following. Like I will click on your account and be like, oh, they seem nice. She's an artist.
Parasocial reverse.
Yeah, she's an artist and she does like really nice stuff. So Emily, if you want to gift me something, I love your art so much.
Now she has to do it because you've said it on a fucking podcast.
And people will know because I'll put it on the story. She's from Yorkshire as well, so I would make fun of her accent, but in like a loving way. I love a Yorkshire accent. You know Cara, who I mention every episode and was on an episode once?
Yeah. Is her family from Yorkshire?
No. She lived in... No, but her uncle did write all of the Singing Kettle songs. So shout out to him also.
How is that relevant?
Because we were talking about her family. Anyway, she lived in Manchester for a year.
This episode is a mess.
She lived in Manchester for a year. And she had a friend from Yorkshire. And me and my friends went to visit Cara once for her birthday. And we were just making her accent.
Oh my God. Fuck that Debbie Dingle bitch. Oh, please.
It was so fun and liberating, and I love that accent so much because of that. It brings me so much joy. So yeah, shout out to Emily.
We're about to do our most depressing podcast to date.
Yeah, you have to get some zingers in there beforehand because I will be silent for the rest of this.
There's no jokes to crack, I'm afraid. Anyway, since we're in a silly, goofy mood, it's my turn for the most pointless question of the week. If yous can answer this, I would love to hear any listener's response to this question that I'm about to ask. So this was inspired by a TikTok that I seen where a guy got it's like a Francis Bacon quote. And his dad said the quote and then he went, Francis Bacon, to like finish the quote. And the guy was like, France is bacon. What does that even mean?
I knew where this was going.
So I'm wondering if there's anything that you've ever got so totally wrong and thought that for like years and years and years, and then like maybe like 10 years down the line somebody's like said it again and you've been like, oh, I had that so wrong. Because I've got one that I told you. But you say yours first and then I'll pull it up.
Yeah, well, I don't have like a thing that I said wrong. My sister used to always say Pacific Ocean. For Pacific
You're
Ocean.
Among us.
And then she used to always try and accuse me of saying it after when I was 7, I corrected her of saying it. She's 8 years older than me, mind you. She was 15. Pacific Ocean. I can't, to my recollection, remember having one of those. But I do have so many things that I believed for a very long time to be true that we just got to an embarrassing age for it to be true.
Santa.
No. No, so a lot of it like stems from me being like a very like autistic person and my mom being like a very evil, sarcastic person who's also a bit on the spectrum. So she delivers every like piece of sarcasm deadpan, which she always says like, maybe I'm just really good at sarcasm. I'm like, no, you need to like let people know that you're not being serious because there is no tell. She just says it as if that is like the truth. And I'm like, at that point, it's just lying. So I believe for the longest time that like the fat pieces on a bit of like boiling beef that you put in soup were poisonous.
What? Almond mum.
I asked my mum if it was like okay to eat it, and she's like, no, it's poisonous. But I think she let me think this for so long, A, because that was her favourite part to put in a sandwich. So she was being extra evil. So I shouted out to my mum earlier, now I'm dragging her. So I believe that like fat on all animal meats by extension to this was poisonous to eat. And I was like, that is so dangerous. And I was living my life as if I was like Homer Simpson in that episode where he eats the poisonous bit of the pufferfish. And every time I like came close to a bit of fat, I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna die.
So do you like eat bacon then?
Yeah, I do now. I didn't oh, for a very god. Long time. But I was like well into like my teenage before I was like, wait a minute. But then because I sussed on to this being not true, I just assumed everything she ever told me was a lie. So then one time I ate a bit of rhubarb leaf, which actually is poisonous.
Oh my god.
At my granny. And she was like, what have you done? And then she gave me like baking soda water to make me throw up because it's like relatively emetic. So yeah.
What have you done? That's so harsh. No, yours been like familial trauma and mine's is me gonna be genuinely being stupid. So, I was like talking to my girlfriend and I obviously referenced a SpongeBob episode. I was like talking about the character Squidward and I was like saying to my girlfriend, I was like, oh, blah, 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 Squidward. And then she was like, what did you just say? And I was like, Squidward. And she was like, say it once more slower. And I was like, Squidward. And she was like, bisyllable. I was like, Squidward. So I've been saying Squidward with a G and I know that he is a squid. I can it's spelled Squidward. But SpongeBob talks really weird and he kind of says it like Squidward. So I just say it like
right.
That.
You're right. I changed your contact name in my phone to Squidward when you told me this. So funny.
My other one's probably more relatable. So the song I Think We're Alone Now by Tiffany, in that she says, children behave, that's what they say when we're together. And when I was younger, actually up until maybe 2 years ago, I was like, aw, their love is so pure that children like behave around them because it's like so calm. And I didn't ken that it was like people telling them to behave. It's like children behave sort of being horny. That's what they say when we're together. I only found that out like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know this? Did you know this?
No.
Well, you're not alone because I have actually brought this up to other people and they've been like, oh my god, I didn't ken that either.
But she doesn't say
children
it like
behave.
Command.
Yeah, she's like...
She says it like...
She says it with a smile on her face.
Yeah, that's so passive-aggressive. Okay, well, you've changed my life. I did not know this until right now.
If anybody else has any, like, things that they've got wrong for so long, I would love to hear it. I would love to hear a really embarrassing one.
Yeah.
Like Squidward. I want, like, more Squidwards. I text you a bit and you were like, that's so fucking embarrassing. I was like, you're a cunt.
I mean...
I told you to make you chuckle.
I did.
I, at my expense.
What else was I fucking supposed to do? It was fucking stupid.
No, say it was embarrassing. Just be like, aw.
But I'm just imagining you.
Like talking to so many people for like...
the past like 2.5 decades and I'm going home being like, did she say Squidward?
That's so fucking stupid, man. Anyway, no, this intro been 20 minutes long. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed that little laugh that we had together because it's about to get really shit. No shit isn't storytelling, it's a good story, but like, Jesus Christ. So last episode, at the end, me and Liam were talking about Dornoch and the last witch trial that took place there. That I said that I was going to do an episode on that, and look at me actually following up on that promise. So we'll take a wee break and then I'll tell you about Scotland's last witch trial.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We've spoken about witch trials a few times on the podcast, but I thought having a brief refresher on this complex subject would be helpful. In the late 1400s, the Malleus Maleficarum was written. This text might be a wee bit more familiar to you as the Hammer of the Witches. Have you heard of this, Liam?
I haven't heard of the colloquial name.
You've heard of Malleus Maleficarum?
Yeah. Wait, you remember something like that when you've heard it. It's like demonology. It's like...
Yeah. By the 1500s, the Hammer of the Witches had been widely published and was used to instruct authorities on how to identify, interrogate and convict witches. Witch trials in the early modern period saw that between 1400 and 1782... around 40,000 to 60,000 people were killed due to suspicion that they were practicing witchcraft. Some witch hunts lasted for years, and sources estimate that 100,000 trials occurred in Europe and the Holy Roman Empire. Oh. Prosecutions for the practice of witchcraft would only reach a high point from 1560 to 1630. This was during the Counter-Reformation and the European Wars of Religion. So this was when people and countries were turning away from Catholicism to practice Protestantism, basically. Oh. Some regions burning those who were convicted at the stake. Most witch trials, though, especially in Scotland, people were hung more than they were burned. But I think it's like quite a...
It's very theatrical.
I think that's quite as kind of stuck. But it was mainly like the central European countries that would be like burning people at the stake. Of course we did it here, but mainly we were hanging people. Or we were coming up with like more inventive ways to kill witches. Like
bleeding them out.
Putting them in barrels for your nails and launching them down the Royal Mile, or... drowning them, stoning them to death, putting them in barrels of tar, like what happened to the Bran Seer.
Corkscrew until they bleed to death.
Aye, we got the pelly winks. We got a bit creative with it, unfortunately.
We were good at it.
Yeah. But in Central Europe, 80% of the people who were convicted and killed were women, and most of them were over the age of 40. The trials and executions of witches were based on fears of demonic possession and fears of social disruption. This basically means that the religious establishment was scared of like traditional pagan practices, like using herbal medicine, worshipping other deities, that kind of thing. Yeah. That would all fall under social disruption. And just your standard social disruption, like being drunk.
in the street,
having sex, etc.
Damn.
Authorities basically targeted people and accused them of being witches in order to restore order. So Scotland was obviously no exception to this, and just as religious tensions were high across Europe, as Scotland reformed from Catholicism to Protestantism, the country was swept up in thousands of witch trials. The witch trials in Scotland basically started when James VI, who, after visiting Denmark to marry his wife and Queen Anne, was influenced by the talky witch trials in Denmark, came back to Scotland and immediately became obsessed with witchcraft. By the 17th century, there was growing scepticism about the reality of witchcraft among the educated elite. The last trial in Scotland happened with questionable legality in Dornoch in 1727.
Whoa, that is late.
Very late. So Dornoch is a wee town in Sutherland, which is north of Inverness and about an hour away from Fortrose, which is where previous episode topic, the Bran Seer, was executed, allegedly, in a witch trial. The story that I'm going to be telling today is about a woman called Janet Horne, or Jenny Horne, depending on the source. This wasn't actually her real name, though. Jenny, or Janet, is kind of like a Jane Doe-type pseudonym that was used for Scottish witches, particularly in the Highlands of Scotland.
Yeah.
Contemporary writers might have called her Janet Horne simply because her real name was unknown, or because it was reported as Janet Horne in documents, and they've just taken that to be true.
Oh.
But without a lackey, a real name, and with no other choice, I will actually be calling her Janet throughout this story. So I'm just going to be like quite frank. If you have anybody in your family who suffers with dementia or any kind of physical disability and you didn't feel up for hearing about the prejudice against that, then we've got plenty of other episodes that you could listen to instead of listening to this one. Just a warning there, a trigger warning. Janet is often said to be the last accused witch to be burned in Scotland, but obviously she was just another innocent victim of the fiery witchcraft. And unfortunately, as I said, the fiery disability and dementia, which was basically unknown at that time, there was no word for it. It was kind of just like senile is what she's described as.
I guess that makes a little bit of sense as why like women were, well, there's a lot of reasons why women were disproportionately targeted by witchcraft, but also like...
But older people.
Yeah, older women, because like... Older women are more affected than older men by Alzheimer's and dementia, statistically, I think.
Yeah, women typically live longer as well, especially during this period. So the proportion of older women with dementia and diseases like it would be higher. So you could see why more women would be prosecuted for this, unfortunately. Janet is believed to have been a maid for a well-off family, and she travelled across Europe with them before returning to Scotland and settling in Dornoch. It's not known if she was born there, but I'm assuming if she went back to Scotland and settled there, that is probably where she is from.
A bit of a strange place to just decide on, if not. Which I kind of hope that's true. I hope she was just like, I think a great wedding will happen here one day.
She was married, but we didn't ken anything about her husband, and they had one daughter who had a deformity to her hands and potentially her feet as well, which was either said to be a birth defect or the result of being badly burned as an infant. For the sources that I have read, I'm assuming it's kind of something like a clubbed hand or foot. Like, I don't know what the actual word for that is, but it's some kind of deformity where her hands didn't look like everybody else's. Later in Janet's life, her and her daughter moved to Cantradwell in Lough, which is 20 miles north of Dornoch, where she was essentially a newcomer, and newcomers were often met with suspicion, and neighbours were often hostile to new people that moved to their area. I mean, it's the same anywhere. This isn't just the Highlands of Scotland. It's sometimes the same now, but especially in like the 1700s and earlier periods, if you're new and you move to an area, you're an easy target because nobody kens you. And none of these people had anything better to do. Janet, at this point, is old and she's suffering for the first signs of what we can assume is dementia. And the community began to turn on Janet and her daughter. In the Highlands in the 18th century, fairy belief was still widespread, and children who were sickly or deformed at birth were often considered to be changelings, children who the fairies had taken and replaced with fae offspring. This was, I mean, we've spoken about this hundreds of times before, but it's kind of just a way to make sense of what we medically didn't understand at the time. This kind of fairy belief in the community, combined with Janet's senile behaviour, quickly turned into accusations of witchcraft. Both Janet and her daughter were taken to the Tollbooth in Dornoch, where Janet's muddled responses to questions resulted in her being accused of witchcraft. It was claimed that her daughter's hands and feet were not deformed, but were in fact shaped like hooves, which were created by the devil. This was supposedly to allow Janet to change her daughter into a horse and to ride her as a horse to secret meetings with the devil.
As sad as this story is, I always am like dumbfounded with the imagination of the prosecutors in witch trials. Like, that is so like creative.
This is bizarre. You will like, there has been like kind of like hangs about like witches like flying on brooms to like have Sabbath with the devil and stuff like that, or like dance their way to go and meet the devil or float, but I've never heard anything like this.
They were bored.
And it's written.
They were very bored.
Yeah, they were fucking bored. They were bored. Janet's also blamed for the usual suspects in witch trials. She's blamed for local crop failures, animal deaths, and it seems that in her confused state, when questioned, Janet readily went along with this absurd story. Because she's got no idea what's going on. There's no written record of Janet Horne's charges or her ordeals when she was in prison. What we do have is an oral history which has been documented over, well, almost 100 years after her death. It's said that at her trial she was asked to recite the Lord's Prayer in Gaelic, but she misspoke, and this was proof of her guilt. There is a tourist trail in Dornoch. It's like different signs everywhere around Dornoch, and you can like follow Janet's story. I took pictures of them. How convenient. Like, I took pictures of them and I was like, I think I might do a podcast one day. I think I might want to speak about this one day. So I took pictures of them. And there's a tourist, like, trail sign near what is, it's like a marker. It's a witch's stone for where she was. It marks the place where she would eventually be executed. And it claims that at her trial, she testified with clarity. And she said, I've tried to lead a good life, but my people are strangers to me now. My girl has a twisted hand, and they whisper terrible things about us. Why do they hate us so? Right.
That's really
sad. I would take this with a big pinch of salt. I would take this with a big pinch of salt. One, because it's on a tourist trail. Also, because as nice as it would be to believe that Janet Horne stood at her trial
and spoke coherently.
And with poise and bravery, like, yeah, like somebody like Joan of Arc or something like that.
Yeah, they were trying to make her Joan of Arc, actually, when you think about this.
Yeah, it's quite similar to Joan of Arc burning during her trial and, like, proclaiming that she's right and that she's done right in the eyes of God.
This and then is yelling, Balenciaga. That was her, right?
So, I mean, as nice as it would be to believe that Janet Horne did this, and part of me obviously hopes that she did, it's very unlikely that this mentally ill old woman had any clue what was happening to her, unfortunately. Despite not having the authority to conduct a legal trial of both of the women, Sheriff Deputy Captain David Ross found both women guilty.
Oh, her daughter too?
Yeah, no. Both of them got arrested. He sentenced the both of them to be executed the following day. However, Janet's daughter did escape burning. Several accounts claim that Janet Horne was stripped naked, covered in tar and feathers, and she was paraded through Dornoch town. Eventually, she is taken to, like, it's a place that's kind of near the beach, and the barrel is filled with hot burning tar and Janet's put in it alive.
What?
The legend says that she tried to warm herself by the fire because obviously she's naked and she's been tarred and feathered. And she's standing by the fire at the tar barrel, uttering with confusion, saying that it was a bonnie blaze as she warmed her hands. Unlike most of the accused who were strangled before they were burned, the surviving story claims that Janet was burned alive. The Scottish Witchcraft Act would finally be repealed in 1735, just 10 years after Janet's murder. And as I said, there's a small marker, a witch's stone, that marks the spot where Janet was burned alive. As I said in the last episode, I found this story when I was visiting Dornoch in a cafe, and I seen the image of a witch on a mural in the wall, and she's like in a crowd of people, and I knew that it was a witch. And then after seeing that, I went out and decided to go and learn Janet's story. And we went and found the stone, like me and my pals, we went and found it in the stone. It's so weird, like this will actually like never leave my memory. Like when you see the stone, it's in a garden that's no far away from the sea, and it's sat next to like this peaceful wee rowy white cottages. And it's just like, I was actually like stood there and like I can remember finding it and like being in disbelief that something like this could happen in such like...
Just a quaint little town. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like so sleepy and so nice there. And I'm like, I can't believe this happened here.
Yeah, it's crazy that the animosity of like early waves of Protestantism in Scotland caused, like, it's genuinely crazy.
Yeah, the amount of violence that was like, I think it was just because it was like Scotland was like still trying to like understand itself and what it was all about. And obviously there was like a lot of confusion after the Reformation, and it just built up so much tension. Like the government and the church really wanting to have much more power over people, and people, that's what happens when people have like their power taken away from them, is that they take it out on other people. It's kind of like how normally bullies at home have something gone on, and then they go into school and they bully other people. It's a vicious cycle, and that's what this, certainly what was happening in Scotland. Yeah. I can remember like being there and like looking at the stone and like just thinking, like, have we even came like that far? And what I was talking about at the time, because it was like 2019, we were like in the Me Too movement. Mm. And I was like, has women's rights even came that far? Like, are we still second class citizens? And we're still like stuck in these cycles of like ostracizing people.
Yeah, finding a group lower down the food chain than yourself.
Yeah, and now, like, it's hard not to draw parallels between the witch hunts and like what's happening in society right now to trans women. Yeah. And trans people in general, but particularly in British media to trans women. And like, like, we've no came that far, and it's so hard not to see things like this. Like, I hope we're not, but like, it's hard not to think that we're doomed to repeat these cycles. I'll post a picture of Janet's stone that I've got on our Instagram page, and I would implore anybody who's travelling to the Highlands to go there, and you can go in to visit the stone, and you can leave a wee token. People typically leave, most people leave seashells and they leave acorns and stuff, and it's quite nice. But say some kind words. Yeah. Say some kind words for Janet and our daughter as well. And hey, I think the next time you see a turf using something along the lines of, we're the granddaughters of the witches you could not burn.
You're the granddaughters of the prosecutors, bitch. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, like, try and think of, like, who the witches are now, because they're just innocent victims of a society who's scared and needs to bully people, unfortunately. Be kind is my message for this one.
I wish we could all just be friends. But like dead ass.
Literally. Like, obviously this has been a much more somber episode of this podcast, so next time I swear we'll be hearing more laughs. So anyway, if you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us on Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast. TikTok is the same, Twitter is the Creepy Wee Pod. If you want to send us your embarrassing stories, you can send them by DM on any social media, or you can send them via email to the Creepy Wee Podcast @gmail.com. Thank you. Bye.
I'm not going to do a song today, out of respect.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.